Hello, you've downloaded the Bedhoppers podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you're not 18, it's probably not something you should be listening to. Go and speak to your mom, pa. If you're over 18 and you'd like to hear about our adventures in the swinging lifestyle, carry on listening. Thanks. Hello and welcome to Bedhoppers. I'm Mr. H.
I'm Mrs. H.
Wow, look at this. We're getting good at this shit now.
Yeah, I've got my voice back as well now.
Thanks for downloading us or streaming us or just playing us in
playing
general.
Playing with us.
Playing with us. Mm. Oh, we like a bit of play.
We do.
I know. I'm just going to do that all the time
now. See, I can't do that.
So. I know. It's a skill. It's taken many years to develop. You would not believe the amount of skills I've had to throw out the window in order to retain that one bit of knowledge and ability. It's quite frightening, really. So, we're going to do a few things for you today, tonight, this evening, this morning, whenever you're listening. The first thing that we're going to talk about is a bit about our journey. Again, give you an update on how things progressed and how we moved from complete noobs to slightly less newbie.
Newbie.
Is that going to be your thing today, just chucking in?
Just being nude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We were totally recording this nude.
What am I drinking tonight? What
are you drinking?
Yeah.
Wine?
Yes, I'm not drinking a cup of tea this time.
I know. We've both recovered from our respective flus, colds and God knows
what.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Although I'm sure we'll cover that later. And cover swinger colds and another edition or episode. So that'll happen. I'm going to talk a bit about our journey, as I said. So we're going to talk a bit about our first club visit within that. So that'll be quite an interesting one, hopefully, for you and won't bore you too much. We're going to talk a little bit about jealousy. Because we had something interesting happen very recently, and the tables have turned, ladies and gentlemen. The tables have turned. We've turned a corner. I was fine, but somebody wasn't.
Seems like the green-eyed monster is alive and well with me now.
Wait a minute, I have green eyes.
You do.
They're not a monster.
This is true.
Okay, so we've got that. We've got some Just the Tips, which is a little bit about more about jealousy this week. That's a big topic for us. And we're also going to do a little bit of a sex toy update, so you'll hear about that as well today. Hopefully that all sounds pretty interesting and you're still there. Apologies, not you can always skip on to the next one. Don't do that. Please listen. We need the figures, please help. Download more, tell your friends. Anyway, so the first thing we want to do is update you on the status of my beard. Now, for
so important.
I know.
Beard watch.
I know. Beyond the jealousy and everything else, the beard is what was really holding me back, I think.
It's pretty much been driving everything, hasn't it?
I know, and since it was shaven off in a horrific, tragic shaving accident, I slipped with a...
got angry and shaved
it
off.
There was no anger. There was just...
It's coming back now.
I know, it's growing back. And it appears to be slightly greyer than it was before. There's one or two little speckles of grey coming up. But, you know...
No, Silver Fox, darling.
Well, I keep getting ID'd.
Oh,
I tried to buy you a bottle of champagne. I was being really good for our
fancy
date. I know, right? A bottle of champagne.
I don't think I've ever been ID'd. Not even when I was, like, able to be ID'd because I was 16. Never. Not even then was I ID'd.
Well, it's because I didn't have the full beard. If I had the full beard, they'd be like, Mr. H, we will sell you that champagne for Mrs.
Maybe
H.
Maybe it's just like a Samson and Delilah moment and it's the beard has held all your appeal and strength and
whatever. In this story, am I Delilah? Or Samson.
Samson.
Okay, I'm just checking. I don't want to get any mixed metaphors here.
Anyway, the beard is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's nearly back. It's not shapely
yet.
You're
very happy.
I'm feeling much more confident.
Yeah, you are so much more of a swagger in your step this week because the beard is coming back.
Well, no, there's a lot of cockiness in my step this week.
There's a lot of cockiness going on this week.
I am a cocky cock.
You are a cocky cock.
Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about our journey. So, as you may recall in our last episode, if you listened, hopefully you did. If not, go back and download it, listen to it, and fast forward to this bit. Thanks.
Wow, that was fast.
Well, that's not what you said last night.
Good grief.
Which is what you did say last night.
Oh, no.
Which is not what you said last night. And the laughter that happens anyway. So, as part of our last journey, or last update on our journey, we'd played with our unicorn. And that had gone much better than we thought.
This was the board games, the Uno, the Dart. Yes,
so the Uno and the Dart.
Unicorn, yeah.
So we had all that.
The Unicorn.
Unocorn.
Oh, God.
It's going to be one of those nights.
I've only had 2 glasses of wine.
We're 2 in and this is where we're at. Brilliant. So, we'd had our play with the unicorn and we were actually off to London. So, we travelled to London, which is a bit of a jaunt for us, to see the School of Rock musical. So, my dad had given us the tickets for Christmas in a random fit of... I think what he thought, he was like, you guys like Tenacious D, therefore you must like Jack Black, therefore you must like the School of Rock musical. Yeah. And seeing children perform rock songs.
So what we did do is bimble around London and had lots of drinks, went and saw his strange musical.
We went to a lot of sex shops, actually.
We did.
Which is always fun.
But this is important because by the time we got to about, 6 p.m, we were quite merry.
And
on a train, knocking back a gin and tonic from good old Marks and Spencer's, where you got ID'd again, I remember that day.
I'm 40, somebody please sell me some drinks. So, we were on our way back and feeling a bit merry, and we got a text from our unicorn saying, I'm going to a sex club, do you want to come along? And it was going to be a good couple of hours away from where we live. We don't really live massively close to any clubs, really, do we?
No, nowhere near.
Or at least none that we've been to or heard of sort of recently anyway. So, feeling a bit brave and a bit inebriated, we decided that, yes, we would do that. And why not? So we got home and literally had...
drank
a few more drinks.
Dutch courage.
Took drinks with us for the car journey and for the club. And had a quick shower and she literally picked us up and we were on the way there. So she'd never been to this club before, which was an interesting one. So she'd also chucked in. And we're in the car and we're sort of becoming more and more nervous about it.
Very nervous.
And we turn up to this place. Now, we're not going to name the club today, really. It's not something we want to do because we want to tell you a little bit about some of the funny stuff that happened in the club. So I hope you don't mind. I'm sure on another episode we will review some of the clubs that we've been to and give you some straight feedback on them. But for this, for the purpose of this, this is much more about entertainment, hopefully, if you can bear with us on that one. So we turn up at an industrial estate, really, I think it's fair to say. And it was a bit... I'm going to say that in order to get to the club, which really wasn't marked out, you had to go through what I'm only going to describe as Rape Alley.
Oh, it was like a scene from a horror film.
It was. There was sort of electricals hanging down from part of the building. You sort of went round through... dripping. Not
concrete
like,
stairs.
Not beef dripping.
No.
No, that would be weird.
No, as in dripping...
The rain was seeping through the roof, basically.
It's like, and there
was
like a hostel.
Yeah, it was holes in the floor. We expected to see a chalk outline of a body as we went through.
Bear in mind, we were dressed, obviously, to be going out for partying. So there was me in the highest of heels, carefully treading my way through these open floorboards and awful concrete steps. And I remember thinking, what on earth are we doing?
Yeah, so we eventually find our way to a door, which is clearly where all
the magic happens.
Yeah, where the club is, really. So we do what I can only assume to be a secret knock. Maybe I've built that up in my head. Maybe we just knocked on the door.
We did, but we had our bottles with us because it's bring your own booze.
Yeah, bring your own bottle.
Which is good.
Or booze, whichever one you like, really, I suppose. So we knocked on the door, and in my head there is definitely a magic knock.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like the theme tune to something.
All right.
Anyway, so we did that, and we get let into the club, and the first thing we see is, as we take 2 steps through the door, is a guy in a full-on gimp mask and gimp costume walk past us.
Yeah, did nothing really to ease my nerves at that point. I actually felt 80% like turning around and going home again.
Now, you know, gentle listeners, that we are prone to absolutely shitting ourselves in moments where courage is probably needed.
Yeah.
So, but in this instance, we...
This guy was like someone out of Pulp Fiction, and off he wandered in front of us. And
dead, baby.
And then a lady with her Babylons out dropped her makeup bag in front of the counter and her lipstick went everywhere. I remember that very clearly.
Well, I remember that the guy that was on reception looked a bit like Shaggy Deer.
But I remember him looking like one of the Gallaghers from Oasis.
Maybe it was a combination of the two. So if you think about one of the Liam or Noel Gallaghers,
yeah, he looked a bit
in combination with Shaggy Doo, you've probably got the right the right look, I think, which is quite interesting. And
But nothing could have prepared us then for...
Well, for the initial sign-up. So I'm going to go into a little bit of character voice work here, and you'll have to forgive me because it was an interesting thing. So we get to reception, and the first thing the chap said was, "Right, are you going to sign up here? Would you like to come to this club more than once? Because I'd love to take your details. But don't worry about the details, because you can write down whatever you like. I'm not even going to look at them today." So we sort of looked at each other and thought, what the actual fuck is going on? And the guy was seriously sort of saying, are you going to put down your actual stuff? Because it really doesn't matter to me. If you just want to put down a fake number, as long as I've got some details here, the management won't really bother about what I've got. Anyway, so you just give me that bit of paper. You can put Minnie, Mickey Mouse, or even Donald Duck if you like. And what I'll do is I'll hand it right over to you, and then we can put it away. And then I'll throw it straight in the bin. After that, I'll take you around a tour.
That was pretty much the sign-up process.
Yeah, so we both...
handed over our shackles and off we went.
Yeah, so, well, handed over our crisp notes to pay for entry and membership. We signed the bit of paper with some half truths, I think, is fair to say. And then we got a tour of the place, which the guy continued to give us this wonderful little moments and insights into the club. Don't worry about the music. The manager loves AC/DC. I fucking hate it. I'm not going to bother about that. It's not even worth listening to, I tell you. So we got shown into this sort of like a thump.
I thought the club was quite nice.
The club itself
to the exterior being...
Oh, yeah. Compared to Ray Valley.
It was actually really all right. It was lovely. Like someone's posh front room, I think.
Except they had cocks for stalls.
Oh, we did.
They had cocks for stalls. yes. And then we had
tiny bar. But then a nice sort of open fire, which made me feel a bit more ease. And some chandeliers.
We did have the conversation about the bathrooms with the chap. Oh, yes. Well, there's two different bathrooms, right? And if you want to go into the good one, you want to go into the women's. Don't worry about the men's, because that one's shit. I wouldn't take a dump in the men's. Anyway, if you want to play, there's all these rooms around. So if you leave the door half open, it means people can look in. But if you leave it totally open, it means you can go in and play. But if you close it and lock it, because I would lock it, you don't want anyone accidentally coming in. That means that no one can get in and you can do whatever you want. It's brilliant. So after that wonderful introduction... we were, you know, introduced to the, well, not introduced, but followed around by the zombie wank shufflers.
Oh, this was our first encounter with single men.
Yeah.
I hadn't even considered the fact that they would be in the club. I don't know why, it didn't occur to me at all. But immediately we sat on the penis chair, and this guy was right behind me, and I remember him just, like, grinning away and talking away to me, and you were sort of looking at me like, yeah, babe, that's a single guy, just avoid. And I'm like, oh, they're really friendly.
But they did just follow us around. And then they proceeded
to follow us around. And he was kind of like, oh, are you and the girl going to do anything then? Like, well, who are you?
It was interesting because we had a lot of people come up and ask if we... Well, a lot of single guys, because it was mostly single guys in the club that night.
Oh, it was quite a heavy presence of single guys.
And saying no only seemed to push them back a metre or so.
They just leaned against the wall.
Yeah, so rather than just standing next to you sort of with their hands down their pants, they sort of stood about a metre further away. So we very swiftly found a room and locked that and then put my trainers behind the door just in case.
So you popped in there with my unicorn to get rid of any nerves, didn't
yes.
you?
Yes, and I got rid of my nerves all over her.
That's great.
What? She enjoyed it, I think. I'm not, you know, she came back and saw us again. Spoiler alert. So, okay. So we played with our unicorn friend, which was really fun, actually, in a delightfully
used
bed. It was marvellous.
It was cleaner than I thought it would be for a sex club. I don't know what I expected, but I was actually pleasantly surprised that it felt relatively okay.
Yes, it was quite nice, actually, to be fair.
Not that we had anything to compare it to.
Well, no. It was only our front room, and our front room's generally all right.
Yeah, not really streaming with baby wipes normally. But
no, no. Much less single guys wandering over their hands and pants, really, to be fair. So we played with the unicorn and went and sat in a little sort of common area. And opposite the common area was a sort of barred-off dungeon-y thing.
Oh, that dungeon.
So it was really...
Oh, that's amazing.
In walked a couple of girls, and they could only have just being 18, 19 tops. Literally wearing the tiniest bits of string, which was great. The tallest heels I've ever seen. Mm. And they sort of preceded a...
tottering around.
Well, they were tottering around, but they brought with them a gigantic man who looked a little bit like Billy Connolly in a kilt with a multicoloured beard, looking really stern.
Wearing some bizarre Bavarian-style outfit with a frilly white shirt, a kilt, as you say, with nothing on underneath a kilt, and then this glorious beard with little bits of dye in it, like blue and green tufts, didn't it?
It was fascinating. And
absolutely fascinating.
These two girls sat down by his feet. And what really got me is you could see them chatting away. And one said to them, I'm not going to do their voices because that's too that's much of a challenge. But it was kind of, do you want to, let's play in the dungeon area. So the chap just sat there while these two girls put on a show for him. But he didn't actually look at them. He just carried on talking to his mate who rocked up. And these girls were sort of, they tied each other up and they were whipping each other. But it was almost like when you tell a teenager to tidy their bedroom.
There was lackluster display.
It was a minimum amount of effort. I mean, it was almost a sort of vague whipping. It was like the notion.
It's like me telling you to mow the lawn.
Yes, exactly that.
Yes. You could drag your feet anymore and, traipse around the garden looking miserable. Just like that.
And they were sort of putting on this really weird display of whips and tying each other up and sort of doing the odd moan. And then they were like, you done now? Yeah, I'm done. Unhooked them and they went back and sat there. All the while, this guy didn't even notice the display that they were clearly putting on for him. Well, he was aware of it, but he gave zero fucks. In the meantime, while our unicorn was in a group room seeking...
Popped up again, didn't he?
A chap turned up and he sat next to us. We were on the corner of a sofa. I'm going to have to all do it in this voice now, moving forwards. And not the rest of the podcast. Mrs. H was on my right and this guy sat down on my left.
Ooh, at this point, don't forget, we've lost the unicorn. She's ping-ponged over into an orgy room.
Yeah, I just said that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, did not hear
Keep
that.
Up. So, this guy turns around us and says, well, I'm glad that you sat there, because if you'd have sat anywhere else, a single guy would have probably sat down and had a go on your missus. At which point, we kind of tested the theory around, well, surely there's a permission-based thing. He's like, yeah, there is that, but, you know, people like to take a chance. So we're starting to get the impression that the club might have been a little bit ad hoc in its rules and the way it was managed. He then decided to tell us, right, there's some stuff going on in the group room. I'm going to go in there and have a wank. So he promptly stood up and pisses off into the group room, leaving us the Bavarian guy and his mate and his girls with him. So we'd noticed that one of the rooms had a swing in it, and we'd always wanted to have a go on a swing. Mm-hmm. So we literally ran for it, locked the door, again put our trainers under the door just in case anyone tried to force the thing open, and then proceeded to have a whale of a time on the swing. It was like the perfect height, which is great.
It's
it was
really
amazing. You know, I was quite happy with that.
Like the swing.
Like the swing. It was good. It's very comfy for you as well.
Yeah. And then it was like 3 a.m. before you knew it.
I know. And then it took our unicorn 3 hours to drive us home, which is brilliant. So it was the most scary, mist-filled 10 miles an hour journey I've ever had my entire life. But we it was a real fun adventure. It didn't put us off clubs, I think, but it also didn't make us extremely...
rush to another one.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the club experience was an interesting one rather than a real go-getter. But it was really nice to have experienced that and also gone there with someone that we knew. I think had we gone there ourselves, we'd have shit ourselves.
Again.
literally. But even before we'd got through the Ray Pally and we'd have ran away, I think. We'd have disappeared. So that's our latest update. In next week's, we're going to tell you a little bit about, hopefully next week, our next themed party that we went to.
Oh, yes.
The themed party. So we went...
Save that till next time.
Yeah, went and got a little bit dressed up, which is quite nice. So we'll come to that later. So on to today's topic. So today's topic is all about jealousy, as we mentioned before. because somebody... despite her proclamations of not being jealous, not having the green-eyed monster, not me, as we discussed, actually had a wobble very recently.
I did.
I wasn't running around high-fiving everybody about this just because
you
it was balanced.
You were as surprised as I was.
I was shocked. I've never known you to be
jealous. No, it was me last time going, oh, I never get jealous.
I've never known you to be jealous in a lifestyle environment, and I think that was quite fascinating. So
yeah,
tell us about
me.
It. Come on, Mrs. H. Not literally. But they wouldn't be able to see that anyway. I could be doing that right now. No, episode 8. Mr. H. Comes on, Mrs. H.
Oh, God, please stop. Anyway, okay, so this was a first for me. I'm still processing it a little bit, if I'm fair. I'm still reflecting. I am really quite pleased about the way I handled it, because I could have been a hot mess.
I'm always pleased about the way you handled it.
Oh, dear. So, anyway, we played with this lovely couple, and we've played with this lovely couple before.
Mm-hmm.
And this was nothing at all to do with the couple, I have to say. This is purely, I think, a combination of factors all kind of leading up to me just not feeling great. And I think in isolation, all these factors wouldn't have amounted to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But coupled with, you know, a few glasses of wine, tiredness, late hours, etc., you name it, and before you know it, you've got a situation. So we played with this couple, everything was cool, and then it was very, very late. It was probably around maybe 3 a.m. again. We need to get better at timing these things. And we had the unusual situation whereby me and the guy things wound up to a finish. You know, he got to the finish line, great. And it was quite apparent that Mr. H and the lady were nowhere near done.
This is a rarity. I'm not saying I'm a short experience.
Well, you are a repeater, darling. We've talked about this. But it's rare for it to be in a situation where you're just like still going and going and going. And it was a real strange thing for me to witness. So we sat there and we chatted for a couple of minutes and did the right thing and waited for them to finish. And it wasn't finishing, so we sat there a little longer. Another glass of wine. You know, what do we do now? Do we talk quietly? Or
you should have watched a box set.
Watch a bit of Dexter.
Yeah, just knock out a few Walking Deads and you'll be fine.
Oh, dear. But and again, I think this is maybe down to the dynamics of the room we're in. You know, and again, as we talked about this after the event,
it wasn't possible for everybody to be on one bed, which is normally our preferred place.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've had experiences on a very big bed, which has been super fun, because we've all been able to be in a cool pile together and touch each other and, you know, reach out if we needed to. But we've ended up getting separated onto separate beds throughout the course of evening, which probably didn't work in our favour either. So we were kind of sat on the other end of the room.
You had so much more room for activities.
Kind of waiting for things to wrap up. And again, they just didn't wrap up.
I wrapped it up.
After like 40 minutes.
Oh no, she told me I had to wrap it up because there was no other birth control available.
So, okay, that happened. So that was not awkward, but it was just a bit, what do we do? So that was new. Anyway, after that, it was then very, very late, super late. And the inevitable kind of lying down in a kind of cuddle kind of mode, I suppose, came alive for you. You just lay there and kind of looked a bit sleepy.
It was pretty late.
I agree.
I'd put a lot of hard work in.
I was not so tired because, you know, we'd just been sat there chatting for a while.
You've been watching a master at work.
Mm.
It was like watching Da Vinci do whatever he did.
And then it occurred to me that you looked kind of in a really comfy, intimate afterglow, and I was not involved in that. And it didn't really feel right either to go and shoehorn my way into this intimate afterglow.
Well, you're not going to go, no, that's mad.
No, because I hadn't been involved in the preceding events that then culminated in the hug.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed wrong to like jump on the bed and go, hey, I want to cuddle too, because it was your moment. I totally understand that, but because I've been sat there twiddling my thumbs for 40 minutes,
It wasn't 40 minutes.
Well, anyway, it just felt...
Was it 40 minutes?
Yes, it was like super...
I'm going to high-five myself. It's really a clap.
Oh, dear.
Yes!
You don't ever want to talk about high-fiving yourself and giving yourself a clap at the same time in a lifestyle podcast.
Maybe not.
Anyway, it just felt a little... I guess what we were talking about last time when you were talking about that whole fear of missing out.
Mm.
And it felt a little isolated for me because I didn't really want to sit around and cuddle this other guy because why would I just randomly do that? Because mm-hmm. there was no reason to do that. And at that point, I felt something I hadn't really felt before in this entire adventure, really. I actually felt like I wanted to go home. Instantly, I really wanted to get in a taxi and I just wanted to go home and I wanted to be in my own bed and be reclaiming my husband and cuddling you.
Hmm.
And it felt so strange to just...
It's strange to want to reclaim me and be in bed with me.
It's so strange, like, witnessing this whole thing and thinking, this doesn't feel good. I don't feel very happy. But what happened next is we all had a bit of a chat generally because... You know, that's the kind of natural thing to do after you've all had a bit of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine. We had a chat, but as time went on and, you know, you were getting super tired, I could tell that you were looking to, like, cuddle and go to sleep. It got even more amplified, I think, the feelings.
If you'd have done 40 minutes of paragraph.
But it just amplified everything even more. And, yeah, I by the time we did get the taxi and we got home, I was in that kind of... mindset of, I'm not going to talk about this now. It's not the right thing to talk about it because I'm not in the right head state to do that.
Mm.
And I would have cried and it would have been awful. And I knew that I was probably overreacting at this point. So, you know, I wanted to go to bed and reflect on it and talk tomorrow. And we did. But mm-hmm. you knew, didn't you, when we got home that things weren't
right.
quite cool.
Yeah. No, I knew. I think as soon as you were so keen to leave...
Oh, I didn't make any scene. I didn't let anyone know that I wasn't feeling 100% because it was no one's fault. And I think having reflected on it, it really was a culmination of multiple different factors that, you know, they really did holistically add up to a not great recipe for disaster with me.
Okay, so in terms of what we can do and what we can learn from that, how can we help other people avoid similar situations and how can we avoid it ourselves?
So, yes, we could have done...
Wait a minute. This is just the tip. It's the tip section.
Woo! This is just the tip. Okay.
So your just the tip is...
My just the tip is... Like, I've thought about
this. To immediately pull your husband out of the other woman, throw him across the room.
No.
No? Okay. All right.
Be gone, you harlot. He's mine.
Start making your... Like, marking your scent around. Like some sort of mountain cat.
Like a mountain lion. No, I recognised, as soon as I recognised that things weren't feeling 100%, I should have stepped in and done something about that. I should have managed my own expectations in terms of what I wanted to happen, mm-hmm. rather than waited for an inevitable anticlimax, mm-hmm. pardon the pun.
Yeah, okay.
So I should have intervened and either jumped on in there and said, hey, I want to be involved. Can I be involved?
Get all up on our grills. I like it.
Yeah, because, you know, we'd all play together already, so it wouldn't have been an unnatural thing to do that.
No,
and
not
you
at all.
Both would have been cool with it. But again, I was just cutting off my nose to spite my face.
Oh, that's my special move.
It is your special move. So I could have done that. I don't think it should have gone on as late. And perhaps I could have wound things up a bit earlier or insisted, I think, that we wound things up a little bit.
Okay.
A bit sooner.
Okay.
Rather than go up to the wee hours.
I think, so for my take out of it, my tip for dealing with this sort of situation is to understand your environment and the impact that it can play on your play style. So if you prefer to be involved and prefer all parties to be involved as much as possible, then... probably you'll try and keep within the same bed or in the same area and make sure that you do join in and that assuming everyone's cool with that, because that will really help you just from the physical aspect of being able to put your hand on someone, being able to offer a kiss or whatever.
Well, maybe even give a little signal that actually we're
Caca!
We're totally done. Can you maybe not?
Caca!
For hours.
Is that going to be my new cum noise?
I hope not.
Caca!
Okay, we're done there.
But so for me, yeah. It's the environment. It's looking at understanding how you like to play, and try and think about how that's going to impact you later on. So if you can avoid it, and if you think about what's going on, then you can do that. You can also set some boundaries around. Is this going to be a night of sort of, you know, this ends at whatever o'clock and, you know, we've only got this much time, or this is what we anticipate is going to happen throughout the evening.
I almost feel like we need to install some kind of time limit on things a little bit, just to help us.
Like countdown.
Well, if we said, actually, we're going to pre-book an Uber for like a certain time. In a way, it might even help to kind of structure the evening a little bit more effectively, rather than just let the time run away with you again.
True.
Because, you know, emotions run high the later it gets, and the more glasses of wine you have and the tireder you get. And then you just, you know, all reasonable thinking goes out the window, and you just let your emotions kind of kick in, and you need your way through it, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to help anyone. But equally, it's quite an interesting topic anyway. How do you all get to the finish line at the same time? And how do you know when you naturally, both couples are kind of done?
I think there's like
there's
like a swinger clock that other people take with them. We've just not encountered it yet.
It's an app on your phone.
Yeah, and it just, you know, it just...
Why do we have this?
Yeah, it's an Alexa thing. Alexa, please tell me when I can come.
That'd be so funny. So a lesson learned for me, I think. And the funny thing was, you know, I wasn't even super drunk. I really wasn't. I was pacing myself really well because I know how I get when I get tired. So it was really just an unfortunate sequence of events that kind of all blew up into more than they should have done.
Mm. I think what was really important, though, and one of my big take-homes out of that, is after that night, we made sure we had a day together, not doing anything in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And just making sure that we're both okay and that we're both...
totally reconnected.
Yeah, totally reconnected. And we reconnected a lot of times the next day. There was a lot of reclamation going on.
It had to be, because we come first. Our relationship has to come first.
Mm-hmm.
So we've put a lot of effort into making...
Although that
sure.
night, I didn't come first.
Oh. So we've put 110% into making sure we're okay.
Which is the most
carrying
important
on. And what was really cool was that you... Even though you were tired and, you know, a little bit merry, you still recognised that I wasn't okay. That was important.
And so I've got a built-in alarm. It's an app.
Yeah. So it's a good takeaway for me. I'm almost glad, in a way, that there's been a bit of a bump in the road, because I'm not immune to the jealousy.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? Right, okay. So that was our big topic of the day. We've got one more thing, which is a sex toy review today. Hooray!
Spits wine back into glass.
That wasn't wine.
This is a funny one.
So, as I've discussed before, I love buying Mrs. H sex toys.
Mm.
I love a random trawl of the internet.
You do.
And the late night clicking and purchasing that arrives the next day with no idea whether it's going to be any good or not. So, one of the things that I bought you must have been...
A couple of years ago.
Was it a Christmas present?
Yeah.
Wow. Sex Toys for Christmas Presents.
And it is a super pretty present.
Also the title of my fifth album, Sex Toys for Christmas Presents.
It's a super pretty toy.
Oh, I've got all the songs in my head. Christmas comes,
no,
but once
stop,
a year.
Stop. You can,
really?
No.
I felt your presence. Oh. Come on. Anyway, so I bought this for you for Christmas. And if you've not seen The Womanizer... It looks like an ear thermometer.
It looks like a digital ear thermometer. So a very pretty handle. And you got a limited edition for me, which was a tattoo one. And it had all pretty little flowers. And
exactly
stuff like
that. Well, they do a whole host of them. They do the ones that are more powerful, that come in different designs.
Yeah.
But this is one of the first ones that they brought out. And basically, it looks like an ear thermometer with a sort of gem button at the bottom of it.
Oh, a very pretty little red, sparkly gem. But yeah, but I just wanted to press all the time.
Well,
like a magpie, I'm just drawn to gems. But every time I hear Womanizer, I just want to like sing Britney Spears. That
okay.
song she sings.
What, Toxic?
there was a song called The Womanizer.
I know that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear. So, we bought this for you, and the reason I bought it is because it came with this amazing claim of it can make a woman come in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. H is notoriously timey in her time it takes to come.
Timey?
Timey, yeah, timey.
That's not even a word.
Yeah, well, it's better than some of the words you've come up with today. It takes you a while to get there.
Okay, that's fair.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, prolonged.
Prolonged. It takes a little bit of time. There's nothing wrong with that. Everyone has their own style.
All good things come to those who wait.
Oh, yeah.
But so, this is billed as a phenomenal device that is a clitoral stimulator.
Yeah, it's not an internal thing. You wouldn't want to put that thing inside you.
And it's supposed to simulate the
sucking of oral sex. Yeah, it's kind of like the gentle sucking of oral sex, yeah. I think. So the idea is that you put it place it over your clit,
mm-hmm.
and it gently hums almost, and
it's a very gentle suction.
Yeah.
Very, very gentle suction.
It's no Dyson, is it?
No, thank God. But it feels so strange.
Well, it was interesting because
it feels
sort of
really strange.
Mrs. H looked at the box and was like, fuck off, no way is that gonna work in a minute. And I said, no, you don't know, let's give it a go. So she put it on there and it was doing nothing really, and she said, well, let me just readjust it. 60 seconds later she came. And
I was so disappointed. I'll be honest, I was really disappointed.
It did exactly what it said on the tin.
I know.
It's.
I didn't really want it to do that.
Well, what did you
want? It wanted to come in a minute. Where's the fun in that?
What if you've only got a minute?
Well, if I...
You can knock one out. It's a useful tool.
Oh, God. It was... Anyway...
I've never seen Mrs. H look so disappointed after coming.
What it said on the tin. I will give them that. But it was just very strange.
I can't imagine it working for everybody.
No, you've got to stay very still.
Well, me, in general.
No, you've got to keep the device very still. And for it to work, you have to be kind of quite still, really. Because if it moves off you at any point, then you lose the almost like the suction bit and you have to start again.
Okay. I love the way you're showing me with your hands where it goes and how it works, which is really helping anyone listening to this, which is the only way they can interact with it.
Yeah.
There's not even crib notes or pictures I can give them.
You've been using hand gestures all the way through this podcast. They just can't see it.
Well, yeah, I know. I told you it takes a long time.
Anyway. Moving on, which we did rapidly, because it was 60 seconds.
It was 60 seconds. So, overall, as a toy, it did what it said on the tin.
But I have to say, there's not really much you can do with a partner with this.
No. Oh, no, it's a...
This is a solo thing, I have to say.
This is a sit back and watch. And it did make me feel a bit like a lazy cunt. And apologies for the language. But I just sat there for a minute. And whilst my wife didn't really move. And then went, oh, just come. Oh, brilliant. Was it nice?
What are you now?
Yeah. All right. It was all right. It wasn't, it just happened. Like she just sneezed. So, a really, really sexy sneeze. Brilliant. So, I think overall... It may well be for you. For us, it's
but
an interest
as a
solo thing. I can't imagine it being.
There's no interaction there.
No. It didn't even make a noise at the end of it to say.
Very, bing! Very quiet.
Oh yes, that is a good. That is a really good thing about it.
It was so quiet. I was like, is this working? Is it on even?
Well, I think the thing I like about it is that it wasn't faulty when we got it. It worked straight away, and it didn't make me spaff all over the place. So, I'm quite happy in terms of sex toys.
I will give it 6 spaffs out of 10.
6 spaffs out of 10. Yeah. You don't spaff.
Well, you just refer to spaffing, so I'm going to give it...
3 splooshes out of 7?
All right, then.
Is that the splooshometer now? 7. 7's the good sploosh number.
It was okay. I wouldn't rush back to it, but it's useful.
Well, you couldn't rush back to it. If you want to use it, you've got to stay perfectly still. It's like a really weird game of musical statues. It's coming home and finding you dead for a minute while you're using it. Don't move up.
His vision is basically
movement. I was just thinking that.
Anyway.
It is the T-Rex of sex toys.
So yeah, the womanizer.
Try one or don't. Too much Jeff Goldblum in one day, if that's possible.
Not enough.
Or not enough. Who knows? So I think that's about it for today's episode. Hope you have enjoyed it. What? You can laugh at me. Why? What have I said?
Nothing. It's all funny.
That's good. Thanks. So thank you very much for downloading our podcast. Thank you very much for following our Twitter. We're trying to keep a good number of posts going out and hopefully entertaining you. Thank you for the advice on the boxer shorts. They were a real success and stayed on for at least
7 seconds they stayed on for.
I know, right? But they were the tiniest,
totally worth it.
Tiniest fucking shortest little shorts I've seen.
Yeah, they really were tiny.
It's, the second I got hard, everything was out and about, so it wasn't ever going to be a...
Well done, internet.
Yeah, thanks, internet. You win this round. So, so we're at Bedhoppers UK on Twitter. If you do want to, if you're not following us already, please do. It'd be cool. Feel free to interact with us, message us. Give us any feedback that you've got. We love hearing from people that listen, and even people that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Thanks for adding that. Brilliant. But until next week, do you want to say the delightful catchphrase?
You do. Thanks for hopping into our bed.
Can you say it a little bit more salaciously?
Thanks for hopping into our bed.
Can you say it like you're laughing?
I've said it enough now.
What? Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye.
Bonus track, Womanizer from Britney Spears.
No, it's not.
Womanizer.
You know of Britney Spears, £4,000.
Wasn't that good?
Neither was she.